I decided to go with Kickstarter is because they are a good company. Their protection, their security protects you as an author. And the only thing is it's very risky, because if you don't make your fundraising goal, you don't get anything, and it's a lot of work for nothing. So you really need a good team of people helping you. I have a wonderful illustrator who's been down the road 2 or 3 times.
Welcome to Literary Gumbo 2.0. This is the reboot of a video program I co-produced between 2010 and 2017. I'm your host, Lisa Engel. The right angle to help you write and sell your story. Each episode explores the world of writing, publishing, and book marketing. Sit back and enjoy.
So I'm here today with an author, Sherry Lyon, who has some very beautiful and educational children's picture books out. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Lisa. It's great to be with you.
Well, I just love these books. Why don't you tell me a little bit about how you got into this interest of wildlife and writing for children?
Well, I have always loved animals, and my children are my people. I love hanging around with them, because what you see is what you get with kids, and it encourages you to be your authentic self. So I've always loved stories and animals and children, and I just put it all together with a little addition of music, because all of my books have a song that helps to tell the story. In fact, it appears at least once, sometimes twice, sometimes 3 times within the actual storytelling. So I added the music piece to the children and the stories and the animals, the exotic animals, because they're so in trouble. And I figure if we inspire our children to love them, not just lions and tigers and bears, oh my, but also tapirs and cassowaries and hippos and all these other kinds of animals that people don't know that much about, then maybe they will be in aware adults, aware of the fact that we are caretakers of these beautiful and helpful creatures on our planet.
So do you have, you incorporate music. So do you have a musical background? I'm just kind of curious. I need to write a song for a novel that I'm working on. So do you have a musical background?
Yes, I do. I have my master's in English and music. I've been involved with music since I was 5. And so at one point I was going to be a professional musician copyist, and nobody knows what that is. And it's okay if you don't know. Probably there aren't any copyists left on the planet anyway, since we have means to do that now. But all that is to say, I was a dancer and a string bass player and a piano player and a clarinet player, and I just love music. And I just write songs all the time. They come into my brain, and they're little ditties more than songs, kind of like, but the ones in the books are actually officially songs that. Sometimes the song comes first, and sometimes the story comes first, and sometimes the main character comes first. But in any case, it's always there. I make up songs to teach people things too. So,
well, tell me about some of your books.
The first one I wrote is called But Not Gino, about a short giraffe who feels like he's not a very successful giraffe, because he can't do the things that the tall giraffes can do. But in the telling of the book, we find that he has something special that he can even teach the tall giraffes to do. And that book, that song begins, I know I'm small, but maybe tall enough. And it tells what he's tall enough to do. And the second book that came out is called Toby Came Late, about a little tiny caterpillar, monarch caterpillar, that is spotted by a little boy named Max in the garden the day after Christmas. And of course, he's all alone in the garden. So Max befriends him sees him grow from caterpillar to chrysalis to butterfly. And he has a little adventure when he actually ends up going to a butterfly exhibit with Max. Toby does, the butterfly. And that book is all about let yourself shine in the sun, even though you're only one. And it goes on encouraging late bloomers to just hang in there. They will find their niche soon enough. The third one was one I wrote for the San Diego Zoo called Paws, Hoofs, and Wings. It's their centennial book honoring their first 100 years. And in it, a little orangutan escapes from her enclosure and gets lost in the middle of the night. And a tortoise named Speed, who actually lived at the San Diego Zoo, takes her back to her enclosure and tells her stories about the first animals that came to the zoo and how they got there, including the zoo's creator, Dr. Harry Wegeforth. We find out more about him too. And the next one in the series is that book is called Hadori Stands Up. And it's about a shy little hippo who finds herself standing up for her friends around the river who don't know that they're supposed to stand up for people that for these creatures that can't stand up for themselves against some poachers that are coming after them. So that one has a little more serious of a topic than the others, but it's a fun book too. It's a really fun book and I love it. I love the book. I can't wait to get it in the hands of kiddos.
Yeah. These are all very educational in nature because they talk about animals. They talk about nature and humans and the whole relationship. Mm-hmm. So I guess they're probably very popular among school children.
Yes, they are. One of the things that I love to do is go into schools and read the stories and tell them a little bit more about whatever they want to know about, actually, because we have a Q&A about the animal or about what it is to write and or the song, whatever. But you make an excellent point that my animals don't wear purple shirts and pink pants, and they don't do things that they normally wouldn't do in the wild. So each one of the books emphasizes the fact that this is an animal doing what the animal does. And the animal solves a problem that human young people and people of all ages really can also face. And they have to find their own way of dealing with that issue or that problem. But once a young person sees an animal finding their own way to solve the issue, it kind of gives them a leg up on, okay, well, if that hippo can do it, that giraffe can do it, that butterfly can do it, maybe I can do it too. So.
Well, you're speaking of you can do it. So you were an English major. Is that how you got into writing, or what really got you into writing?
My father and my grandmother. My father and my grandmother were amazing storytellers. And I would listen to the same story over and over and over again. And my mother, who was not enlightened in that way, she was, why do you listen to the same thing all the time? Because I was too little to write them down. I was too little to write the stories down. And then I started telling the stories to my children. And then I started writing down the stories for my own children and my own grandchildren. But truthfully, a sweet little girl at a signing once asked me,
what was the first story that I wrote? And I told her I had this vision of myself at my little desk. And as a 2.5-year-old, maybe three, and I was, you know, doodling, but I kept saying it was my writing. I was doing my writing. And when my dad came home from work, he said, "What did you do today, Bright Eyes?" And I said, "Well, I wrote you a story." And I held it up and showed it to him. And he said, "What's the story about?" And I made up some story. I don't know what it was about, but I made up some story. And he said, "Oh, I love that. I hope you write me another one sometime." So my cat had kittens when I was 9, and I wrote a story about it. So it's just my way of entering the world. It's just my way of entering the world and processing what happens to me.
So you're a born writer. That's wonderful. Some people are born writers, some people are made writers, but we all hope to get published. So how did you get these books published?
That's a very interesting story. And I will credit the Santa Barbara Writers Conference for giving me the courage to step out. I taught school for 40 years. And when I left public education, I left to write the stories that I had in my head. And I had dozens. And so I took them to the Santa Barbara Writers Conference and I read them or had them read in a group led by the wonderful Mary Penny Hershey. She loved my stories. She didn't say she loved them, but the group had only about a dozen people. That group was very small in compared to the other groups at the Writers Conference, because a lot of people don't write for children, picture books for kids. So Mary invited the last day. She said, "You're going to share today, but don't get worried, but I'll tell you when." And when you're going to share, you're just going to come up and somebody's going to read your story. And this woman appeared in the doorway and Mary said, "Okay, Sherry, you can share your story now." And of course I had to sing the songs because nobody knows what the songs are like except me. So I shared a story called "Hop Along Hippity Gets Fancy New Legs" and sang the song. And the woman in the doorway was a publisher. And Mary had the publisher. I went to lunch with the or coffee with the publisher, and she said, "We can't pick you up right now, but here's our three things that I want you to do in the next few months. And they're hard things, so it'll take you all this time." And it took me a good 6 months to do all three things. The first thing she said to do was to visualize your product, and more than visualize it, hold it in your hand, smell it, feel it, open the book, turn the pages, have a clear and concise vision about what you want your product to be like, and hold on to it. Once you have it, hold on to it. And then the second thing is, after you do that, you'll know more about what your product is and what makes it stand aside from other products. And that's when I came up with, well, I have songs. All my books have songs. And it was a happy accident, coincidence, I don't know, but that all of them had songs that helped, that were part of the story, where the message is encapsulated in the song. So if the kids forget the story, that's okay, but they might remember the song. Then the third thing she said was, and come up with a short phrase and a logo that says what your stuff is just by looking at it. And that's when I came up with "Read to Me, Sing to Me." And all of my books are "Read to Me, Sing to Me" books with a song that helps to tell the story. So then, armed with that, I
said, well, my books are all about wild animals and I live near the San Diego Zoo. So I thought, well, I'll just find out if I can find somebody who has the power to say yes or no without walking up a ladder chain to the top, you know, I don't have to wade through that. And can you find me? Can you let me know whether these stories are good enough? Would you like them? Would you like my stories? And we could illustrate them with photographs from the San Diego Zoo of their animals. So I got the name of this person and I went in to this meeting and I walked out of the meeting having sold them But Not Gino, which was not finished. It wasn't even, I mean, the illustrator I had, but I did not have any illustrations except a portrait of the main character. And I made up my own publishing company called Cozy Lion Press, which I don't do anymore. But I said, yeah. They said, okay, we'll buy 144 copies.
Wow.
So I said, all right. So I printed 200 and I printed 300 copies, all at my, you know, my own expense, but I printed them. And those sold out in a month and they said, okay, we need 250 more. So I printed 500. And by the time the summer was over, the zoo said, you need a publisher. This is ridiculous. You need to make some money. So how about if we connect you with a couple of ideas and you pick one? And I picked one. And they published Toby Came Late and Paws, Hoofs, and Wings. So that's how that happened. I mean, the hard part is what happened at Santa Barbara Writers Conference, which was learning how to step out and whether your product is, as they say, as some people say, has legs, whether it has the power to touch someone in a way that hasn't been before.
Well, you certainly do that very well. You have great messages in your books. This new one in particular, because it talks about something that I don't think is very often covered in a children's book or a book for young children. And that's the idea of preventing poaching.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I hadn't thought about the fact that it's not dealt with much, but I agree. And I took on the subject because it was important and because I knew children needed to find out about what is happening to these animals. And you know, they came out a long time ago with this phrase, if you see something, say something. And that's what this book encourages kids to do. If you see something that doesn't look exactly right, say something to someone who can help. I don't know. I think it's an important message for kids to get, especially in this age of social media, bullying, and all this icky stuff that's out there, that young people feel like it's bombarding them from all sides. And so that's why it is hard. This is a hard subject, but I think thanks to Christina Wald's really a remarkable art and Vicky Shea's wonderful design, this book is appealing. My main character, Hadori, is this kind little hippo who has an oxpecker bird as her little buddy who flies around. We never mention him we never mention Amani, the oxpecker bird, until you get to the fun facts at the end of the book and you mention her there. But she's a very appealing character. And thanks to these two women, who, by the way, Vicky was my designer for Toby Came Late and also the designer for Paws, Hoofs, and Wings. So this is a team that's been together for a while.
And now in order to get this book out there and published and to be able to pay these wonderful people and to be able to get some for yourself and to get the word out there too, you decided to do a Kickstarter campaign. And that in itself can be quite a challenge.
Oh my goodness, you said it. Anyone that tells you, that, which people did, oh, Kickstarter is just like filling in the blanks. No, it's not. I mean, there are blanks to fill in, but it is, it's challenging to do it well. I think probably anybody could do it, but whether you do it well enough. And the reason I decided to go with Kickstarter is because they are a good company. Their protection, their security protects you as an author. And the only thing is it's very risky because if you don't make your fundraising goal, you don't get anything. And it's a lot of work for nothing. So you really need a good team of people helping you. I have a wonderful illustrator who's been down the road two or three times, and my designer also. So I had this really good team. And what I found out from doing some research, watching, going to webinars and watching things, that some of the things that you sent me, by the way, which were very helpful. I found out that even traditional publishers are funding new authors through Kickstarter because they figure, well, this is going to cost us $20,000 to print these copies. And so if we can raise $20,000 on Kickstarter, we start at the head of the game and we're just paying the author from book sales. And I thought, well, if traditional publishers can do it, then why can't I? I thought, and also Christina said, my illustrator said, you know, this is an important book. You don't want anybody to mess with it and change it for you. You want to control this book. And when she said that, I said, you know, you're right. This is a very important subject to me, poaching and standing up for what's right. And I want it represented. I want to control how it's represented, you know? And so that's why I decided to fund it through Kickstarter. And this way, if I make my finance goal, then I pay my illustrator, pay my designer. If I go over the goal, then I can pay for a deluxe printing for my Kickstarter backers and give them some prettier copies of the book.
What were some of the challenges that you faced when setting up your Kickstarter campaign?
As with anything technologically, you're better at technology than I am. Thank goodness I have you. But things change over time within the program that they're using. So you have to roll with those punches. Making the site look appealing, not using forbidden terms, not necessarily forbidden, but words that Kickstarter doesn't like you to use in reference to your project, which, you have to learn. I think it was probably 2 or 3 months of watching videos, going to webinars, joining a group called Kickstarter for Authors, which is a group on Facebook, and reading through those posts and finding out where people had hiccups and tripped and fell into holes and things, and learning how they got out of their messes, seeing projects that failed and projects that succeeded. It's like going to college to do it right. And then I was blessed with a designer and an illustrator who had both funded their own books through Kickstarter. So they'd been down the path and they knew where some hiccups might be.
Yes, they did. The illustrations and just the layout that they helped with, that was just, it's beautiful, a beautiful page. And you set up, you had to come up with a bunch. I remember speaking to you about how you had to come up with a bunch of rewards for your backers.
Yeah. They recommend 8 to 10 reward tiers, and coming up with that and keeping yourself consistent, that was hard. What would people want? What would they not want? You know, what is valuable? What's not valuable? And so, yeah, that was kind of fun in a way, because I started out with these crazy reward ideas and I kind of pared them down, but it was fun to brainstorm for a while.
So I know one of the things that people think when they, well, some people, they think, oh, well, doing Kickstarter, that's easy. And then you're saying, well, it might sound easy, but it's not, there's a lot of challenges. And then the other thing that people think is, you probably get a lot of people who say, I've heard this from other people who write children's stories. Oh, I want to write a children's story. Oh, well, that's so much easier than writing a story for an adult. It's so much easier than writing a novel. What do you tell people when they say that?
I say to them that good writers come in all different shapes and sizes. And there are some writers who are destined to write novels. There are some writers that are, that they have poetry in their soul and they write poems beautifully. There are some people who write plays really well. And then there are some people that think like five-year-olds. That's me. I don't think I ever left that thought process. But actually what I tell them is, you may very well have a wonderful, good idea for a story. And if your niece or your grandson or your neighbor child loves your story, that's a great beginning. Join writers groups, have people critique your piece. But if you are serious about this, you have to get serious and you have to follow it through. I help writers get their own books out there. And I've had out of the 10 people that I've helped get books published, 3 of them couldn't stand the long journey and just bowed out. They said, no, this is too much work. It's too hard. Even though they weren't putting it online. I was doing all the putting it online and all the editing and all that stuff. They were just making fixes and, you know, keeping the storyline and whatnot. 3 of them gave up. They just said, don't give up. If it's something that you really believe in, hold on to it. And I think that's why that publisher's advice was so good. He says, take some time with your product and then hold on to your image of it, which, Lisa, to be honest with you, even with my publisher, that was hard, because there are times when I had to dig in and I said, no, that's not who I am. I don't do books like that. I don't do books about purple elephants. I just don't. My elephants look like elephants. I want people, if they saw them in the wild, to say, yes, that's that elephant. Or if they saw a hippo in the wild, they'd say, oh, there's Hadori. And believe me, I can't tell you the number of kids who come up to me and say, I was Toby for Halloween. And the mother said, yes, he was. But the only butterfly wings we could find were female butterfly wings, because in your story, you tell how to tell the difference. And they made me put a black dot on those wings where it should go so they could be Toby. And, you know, so it's meaningful. It's important that you stick with what's important, and you just hold on to it and don't give up, because if you give up, guess what? You fail. Period. It's done. The story doesn't come out.
Wow. What wonderful advice and inspiration for writers and anybody wanting to go into publishing a book, whether it's for children or adults or anybody. Any other advice you can think of for writers or people wanting to get their books published or put their books on Kickstarter or anything else you want to tell people?
I guess the one thing is that when you're ready, put it out to people that you know, and you'd be amazed where the help comes from, because you're going to need help. You can do a lot of the writing is the fun part. The writing is your alone part. Stephen King's book on writing, I think, is a very valuable resource. It's kind of, it's not a how to do it book. He writes it as a sort of an autobiography. It's a memoir, but he, through the memoir, he talks about his process, his writing process. And a couple of the things that he said was, one is the writing is what you do by yourself. You don't share it with anybody. While it's a little tiny, it's kind of, while it's getting ready to be shared, don't share it with anybody, but keep in mind who you are writing for. Have an idea of who you're writing for. And that's what saved me in all my books, is I knew exactly who I was writing this story for.
Well, that is excellent advice. And I thank you so much for coming on and talking with me.